Right, the title of the message this morning is called Shift in Perspective. So this is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Though I've opted just for this opening bit to do it with the Good News translation. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, He has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be His through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before Him. Because of His love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ He would make us His children. This was His pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for His glorious grace, for the free gift He gave us in His dear Son. For by the blood of Christ we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which He gave to us in such large measure. In all His wisdom and insight, God did what He had purposed and made known to us the secret plan He had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision. And God chose us to be His own people in union with Christ because of His own purpose, based on what He had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also, speaking to the Ephesian church, you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put His stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit He had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised His people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are His. Let us praise His glory. In the winter of the year that I was studying in Vienna when I was at university, which was 1982 to 1983, I did something very uncharacteristic. I ventured out on a solo trip to Russia during a semester break. It was February, I think. It was absolutely freezing. I visited St. Petersburg, Moscow, and Novgorod. Novgorod's known as, well, I was told on some tour that they took me on, that it had the most number of churches of any town or city in Russia. None of those churches were actually functioning as churches at the time I was there. They all had other, they were redeployed into other kinds of work, but not churches. Anyway, it was a memorable trip for me for all kinds of reasons, which I'm not going to go into today, but it's clear that over all these intervening years, you know, that part of the world has changed considerably beyond recognition from what it had been in the early 1980s when I was there. So when I was there, Western influences had not yet kind of worked themselves into the culture, and really, I remember so vividly how stark and bare everything appeared. Walking into shops that had very few things on display, it felt near enough empty, really, any shop I went into. And I suppose as a consequence of that, there wasn't really anything to buy, so I didn't really buy anything to bring back as a souvenir. But I did buy a Russian doll, which I, over all these 43 years, I've had this doll on display wherever I've lived, normally on a bookshelf somewhere, and I have it with me today, which is a big out-of-my-comfort-zone thing to have a visual aid, but I'll try. So in recent weeks, I've really been reflecting on this relationship that we have as, once we've accepted salvation, we have now this relationship with a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I've really been trying to visualize what does that look like in our day-to-day walk, our day-to-day life. We're real human beings in a real world. You know, we live a real life. What does this actually look like? In his gospel account of Jesus' life, the Apostle John highlights Jesus' words before his death and resurrection, explaining how this relationship will work once he is no longer on earth. So I'd like to look at John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then a couple of chapters further on, in John, in the high priestly prayer, as we know it, by that Jesus prays, he says in chapter 17, verses 20 to 23, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. So whilst I was trying to visualize this relationship, I was reminded of my Russian doll, and so I went to fetch it from the bookcase where it's been sitting, and as you can see, when you look at my Russian doll, it appears as one doll. But when you pull it apart, and I'm going to have to move in order to show you this, but when you pull it apart, you will see that there are dolls within dolls within dolls. Okay? Now, this won't be a perfect comparison, but the idea that's expressed in those two passages that I read from John is that in our salvation, we have accepted what Christ has done on our behalf. And that gives us a reconnection with God, because he forgives us of everything that we've done wrong. And now we have that relationship with God because of Jesus. So this is going to be us. But he also gives us his Holy Spirit, which lives within us. Oh, also, for the benefit of anybody who might be listening to this and not here watching it, I have a stackable Russian doll that I'm working through here. So the Holy Spirit has been given to dwell within us. We are in Christ. Christ is in God. And God and Christ Jesus says that that God is in Christ. Okay, now I'm just going to quickly grab back my little person so I can show you something later. Okay, so we know that through the work of Jesus that we have been reconciled to God. Jesus is our covering, and through him we are in the Father. So Colossians 3:3 says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So what did we look like before entering into this relationship. Before we entered into the relationship with God, we were separate. Separate and separated from God. But what do we look like after entering the relationship? Well, imagine that my little person is back in the stack. We are hidden in Christ in God, fully protected by God, the creator of all things. We are no longer on display. God is. Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit. We are in Christ, and Christ is in God, his Father. We enjoy all the benefits of the relationship that God the Father has with Jesus, his Son, because through him we've been adopted into this family. It is no longer us. It is Christ in and through us. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Once I could visualize this relationship in a concrete way, through the design of my little Russian doll here, my thoughts turn toward two questions. First of all, how do I stay in my place? And secondly, what would my life look like if I saw myself as living both with the Holy Spirit in me and Jesus wrapped around me, who in turn has God wrapped around him? My first question is answered simply in Galatians 2:20. I stay in my place through trusting that what Jesus says is true and what he has done for me genuinely results in me being hid in him. And together we are hid in God, and we are all one. The life I now live, I live by faith. I stay in right relationship through my trust that my life is no longer about me, but rather it's all about him. And my job is to trust him. Isaiah says in chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The answer to my second question, what would my life look like if I saw myself as living both with the Holy Spirit in me and Jesus wrapped around me, who in turn has God wrapped around him, is that my perspective needs to shift. Before I develop this idea more fully, let's just look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If I could truly see myself as being cocooned by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are now living in me and are a barrier between me and the world, there are many thoughts and behaviors that I tend to engage in that actually do nothing more than provide evidence that I'm not living by faith. One example is the frequent question I ask myself as to whether I'm doing enough for the kingdom of God. Am I praying enough, witnessing enough, giving enough, doing enough good works? Who is the focus when I ask questions of this nature? I am. Am I on display in my embodied relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No. My question requires a shift in perspective. Am I trusting the Lord to lead me and guide me in all that I do? Am I praying the promises he has given to me in his word and trusting him to act on in my life accordingly? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now we know that faith without works is dead. Read James chapter 2. What the New Testament makes clear, however, is that we cannot do the works unless God is doing it through us. Our union with him is what enables us to do things on his behalf because he is doing it through us. We need to be reminded of the story of Mary and Martha. We look in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, what happened is he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me now." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Mary has hidden herself in him, whilst Martha is on display. Mary understands that Jesus is the source of everything she needs. He is the one thing needful. Paul refers to himself as the least of the apostles in the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 to 10. "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." He acknowledges that whatever he has achieved for the kingdom of God was achieved not through his own strength, but through the grace of God at work in his life, because Paul fully grasped his union with Christ. As he states in Galatians 2:20, which I'll read for you again here, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It's interesting to note that when Paul, known initially as Saul, encountered Christ on the road to Damascus, he was left temporarily blind. Acts 9, verses 8 and 9. "Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." And then later on in that chapter, verses 17 to 18, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. When his sight was restored, Paul's perspective was permanently changed. His focus was on Jesus and the good news of his kingdom. Paul carried out remarkable works throughout his life, but all those works arose from Paul's single-minded focus on his Lord and Savior, not on himself. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." How often in our daily walk with the Lord do we view ourselves as the separate small doll? Any question around whether the Lord is with us or not, whether he has abandoned us, whether or not he's going to protect us and keep us safe, whether he's going to guide our steps, reveals a perspective that treats us as separate from our Savior And that is simply a wrong understanding of the relationship. Our lives as believers are hidden in Christ, and we are restored to a relationship with God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to be the recipients of the same love that the Father has for His Son. We share the same inheritance as Jesus. We have been wrapped in Christ and are treated by God as His heir. Now, we can certainly remove ourselves from the relationship through rejecting God and what He has done for us through His Son, but He will never leave us or forsake us. All He asks is that we trust Him fully and submit to being hidden with Christ and guided and transformed by His Holy Spirit. We submit to this relationship through faith, believing that everything that God and Jesus have said about our status in this relationship is absolute truth. Our perspective must always be aligned with the truth of our hiddenness. Any thoughts or actions that are self-referential in our lives that indicate that we are looking to ourselves, our own behavior, our own lack, our own strength, do not indicate that we have the correct perspective. It is not about us. It's all about Him. When I look at the Russian doll, I see only one, but nestled within are several others that I do not see. We need to see ourselves as in Christ. If what we see is Him rather than ourself, how can we not have confidence that all our needs and hurts and failings will be addressed according to His perfect will? Scripture is filled with promises concerning God's desires for us and His good plan to enable us to live as His children in this world. Our wrong perspective often leaves us functioning in a position of despair and weakness. We need a renewed perspective that looks at who is actually in charge and whose power works through us so that we can live the lives that are aligned with His will. I'd like to close with a story from the Old Testament involving the servant of the prophet Elisha. This servant has a major shift in perspective, which removes the fear he felt when he was looking at the situation from a position of his own strength. Taken from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 18. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to that place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he, Elisha, answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. We are hidden in God through Christ, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. If we take time every day to ensure that our perspective is focused on God and not ourselves, we will be able to stay in that perfect peace that Isaiah referred to in the passage I read earlier. I'll just read it again, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Remaining in this correct position in the relationship it's easy the way God has created it. For us as human beings, it's ever so hard because we constantly want to come out of it. We want to be separate. We want to make our own decisions. We want to feel that everything's dependent upon us, and that simply is not how the relationship is designed. The relationship is designed for us to be filled with God's Spirit, covered by the blood of Jesus, restored to a correct relationship with God, and then receive the protection of God so that we can look out in our lives and not see the battle in front of us, but see God's chariots of fire that are there, because they are. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that restores us into the right relationship with you, Lord, where we just in faith need to stay in our position, keep our eyes with the right perspective on who is actually in charge. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the power of your... You're the creator of all things, Lord. You have ultimate power over everything. We are completely safe in you, yet often we act and behave and speak as though it all depends upon us, and it doesn't. So thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the fact that you have loved us from the beginning of time, and that this plan is what you had in mind right from the start, and that we are so gratefully the beneficiaries of your immense love, so that we can actually call you Father as we are adopted into your family. We thank you in your Son's precious name and for everything he's done for us. Amen.